Oh, that music's loud. Okay.
Can be.
Yeah, I know. Everything's loud except me. The daylight's loud. The noises are loud. I gotta get loud. Yeah. Oh, what a peaceful... Man, was it gorgeous this morning or what?
Oh my gosh, it was really nice.
You know, you everybody out there, you all need to say thank you to Robert. Because these beautiful, chilly evenings we've been having and the wonderful, warm weather... And during the day and the cold, chilly nights are all due to Robert going down to the Everglades to go snake hunting because it's been so warm and moist and high humidity that the snakes at night were just moving all over the place and going. And Robert and Josh Olive went down to hook up with one of the FWC officers and go snake hunting in the Everglades. And it got cold, and all the snakes just burrowed up. And all the snakes,
of course,
burrowed up and just, you know, kind of hid in their little holes. Did you actually see any snakes at all?
Yeah, a couple. Nothing really to super write home about.
I mean, I was, you know, I talked to you on the phone, and you guys had found some garter snakes. And I'm a big fan of garter snakes. I like those little guys. I think they're cool. You know,
yeah, we
but
found
I grew
some
up
garter there. Snakes and a couple water snakes. But...
Now, are the water snakes poisonous?
No, but they have a, well, I guess it's kind of a venom, but it's they have a bacteria in their saliva that's an anticoagulant, so if you get bit by one, you bleed like a stuck pig.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you know.
And some people have a more allergic reaction to them than others, so some people bleed profusely for quite some time.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, you know. That's one thing about radio fishing. Come and learn all the useless stuff you'd ever want to know. So, anyway, but you guys went out there looking for pythons and more deadly venomous stuff. That's what you guys like to play with.
Yeah. Well, any of the snakes would have been just cool. I mean, all of them are really, really cool. But if we could have found a Burmese, that would have just been the icing on the cake.
Somebody said some idiot from the government or something let loose a whole bunch of rabbits down there.
Yeah, they were breeding some... Everglades marsh hares or something to check it out and see how the population of the pythons versus the rabbits were doing and the decline of the pythons themselves or the decline of the rabbit population itself.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's go feed a bunch of pythons in the Everglades. Here, guys.
Right.
Grow bigger and have more babies.
Right. You
know? I mean, up until that point, pythons are basically gator food.
Yeah.
You know, the gators will just chew them up.
Yeah, the gators will eat them, and then, you know, the smaller juveniles, the birds will eat them.
Right.
You know, so those are your two primary predators, but about the only predators, because once they get to a certain size, it's pretty much only an alligator and them.
Yeah, so
and they'll eat anything, you know, if it's warm-blooded, a python will eat it.
Yeah, well, they're not particular, they're a snake.
No.
So
wading birds, it doesn't matter, but the cool part was there was a... like a park ranger that we ran into, and you know they've got so many exotics down there. It doesn't matter if it's fish or reptiles; they've got a ton of different exotics.
Or birds, and I mean,
not so much in the park itself with the birds. I mean, I'm sure there's a few oddballs, but the reptiles and the fish are just utterly amazing. But he had a photograph that he took of a pretty big, a decent sized alligator eating a very large green iguana.
Really?
I mean, it was a big, full-blown adult green iguana, like over a four-footer, I'd have to guess, by his, you know, colors and stuff. It was a cool picture.
Yeah, well, that's always cool. I like Everglades National Park. Mm-hmm. I used to go fishing there for Oscars and stuff back mid-'80s. I would go down there. I was working steelwork back over in Davie, doing a lot of water treatment plants and stuff like that. And I stayed out at Everglades National Park and got to fish there quite a bit. So it's a really pretty place.
It is. It's different.
Really neat. I strongly urge, if you're going to go down there, bug spray. Maybe even hats with mesh on them.
Yes.
You know? We have to get some more of those hats with the mesh on them.
You know what's funny, though?
Hmm.
Is the mosquitoes ate me alive, but during the day walking around, I never got bothered by the black flies or the yellow flies. And Bob and Josh got just chewed up. They really? Were constantly swatting. I'm like, hey, I found something that doesn't bite me.
Well, maybe what attracts the mosquitoes to you repels the flies and all that stuff. That would be
just,
cool.
It was just kind of funny. Because you know, they got hammered quite a bit. I only had one buzz me.
Yeah, no, we have a, when you're coming in the canal during the day, there's one pepper tree that it's on somebody else's property or it would be dead.
Yeah.
Because it always holds those horse flies. Those little deer flies, horse flies, and they bite and they hurt.
Yeah. And you take a little chunk of skin with them every time.
Every time I take the boat by there, they'll chase you down with it.
Yeah.
And it's not bad going out because I only got, you know, another, well, it's literally 200 feet and I'm in on the river and they can't catch me at 50 miles an hour.
Right.
But when I'm going home up the canal, it's all, you know, 3 miles an hour and that they can keep up.
Yeah.
So, but what's weird is they'll bite and either you kill them or they'll run off eventually. And we don't have any at the house, but that one pepper tree up there holds them. And
that's
no idea
funny.
Why. So, but I got to talk to the guy who owns that piece of property, but I can't find him. You know, I just want to go there and dead tree.
Right. Kill it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they got that new tree killer out again, so get some of that from the guys at Ashblund and, you know, make it into a stick.
There you go.
So anyway, into the fishing stuff. We need to do the area fishing report. The snake report hunting for the Everglades is really kind of poor right now. If you're a big avid snake hunter and you're going down the Everglades, wait for it to warm up again.
Yeah, wait just two more days, it'll get hot
for us fishermen.
Now that I'm gone.
Yeah, you know, if you want to know when the worst day to go fishing is, just ask Robert when his next trip is.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be blowing, storming, tornadic activity, probably hailstorms, might even snow.
Yeah. Yeah. It just might.
It just might even snow. So anyway, but we are, let's see, what are we?
As far as where to go?
Yeah, as far as where to go.
Let's start on the river. It's the easiest one. It's quick. Gar, more gar, and a few more gar. there has been a few oddball redfish, oddball snook, and some tarpon up there towards the Shell Creek Dam.
Okay.
Hearing of a few redfish and some whiting right there around the little islands right there by 75 Bridge.
Oh, yeah, Bird Key and Long Key and all those right there.
Not great numbers, but a few.
Yeah, very, very few, to be quite honest, guys. A lot of catfish up by 75 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Claudine were fishing there. I did a show with Mike and Claudine yesterday, and Claudine got one in her foot. And had to do the
seriously,
yeah, the river dance, you know, you know, with the feet up there trying to shake it off, and Mike had to pull it out, and you know,
man,
so yeah, that was tough.
I don't envy her at all.
Yeah, getting one jab down, it went right through the strap of her flip flop and into the top of her foot.
Seriously,
yeah. So, oh yeah, that hurts. So
that hurts just thinking about it.
I know there's a lot of black drum there, but they were concentrating on shrimp and some threadfin cut bait, and we had one of our guys come in and wanted to catch family member, one of the, you know, big fish he'd always waited for, and went to the I-75 bridge with a load of crabs and a, you know, 40-60 pound black drums. They were catching them. They had a great time. I haven't heard of anything else up there though.
No.
Catfish and black drum.
I haven't heard of any juvenile or sub-adult tarpon up there in over a week.
Only at night. But now I just reposted a tarpon map. And I've got that based on what's going to happen this weekend. You know, it's kind of a forecast for the weekend because the next couple nights are going to be a little chilly.
Right.
But the wind's supposed to back off here in the next day or so. So anyway, we're going to hope that that pans out. As we're coming down to 41, catfish had a couple little mixed reports of silver trout, sugar trout. I know the tarpon.
Oddball small shark here and there.
Tarpons at night.
Yeah, tarpon and snook at night at the bridge, some few oddball redfish. The mangrove snapper bite's been sporadic, been a few good ones and a lot of small ones. But it is literally just starting to pick back up, which is a good thing. As you work your way right around the 41 bridge, working your way along Bayshore, there has been more tarpon kind of cruising along there between the 41 bridge and, say, Grassy Point.
Right, that whole side there, as you're coming down river off to the right, or the north side of the river.
Yeah.
North side.
You know, and there's been some oddball cobia here and there. It's been really quiet on the cobia report overall for the last couple weeks. Not sure what's going on with that. Hearing some small ones here and there, but no real legal size fish, essentially. The Spanish mackerel have been moving in and out kind of with the tide on this end of the harbor. So it's been kind of incidental catches, but keep your eye out because you just look for some of the bait or just trolling along and you'll pick up one or two. It's just not great numbers yet. Right at the entrances of the Port Charlotte canals. Really pretty good on the jacks. Some mangrove snapper. Oddball sandbrim, oddball black drum. About the only thing going on in the Port Charlotte canals has been a lot of juvenile tarpon in a couple key canals. You know, the Edgewater Lake, Spring Lake, been some up there in Grassy Point, but nothing else really to speak of that I've heard of. How about you?
Not so much. Like you say, a little bit of redfish around Alligator Bay. There's still been some fish just off the sandbar going between Alligator Bay and Maika Cutoff.
Okay.
Getting up through the cutoff, it's been pretty slow. The back end of the cutoff's doing pretty good on the Maika River side. As far as still some leftover snook up there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Maika River, haven't heard much about.
Maika River's been a little quiet. I mean, snook season closed 4 days ago, so you're going to start to hear, you know, we're going to personally start to hear less and less reports, unfortunately, about that. But Eljo Bean usually, traditionally in May, is usually best at first light or through the evening hours, you know, into the dark. You know, you won't catch very many trout, but usually you'll catch those trout right at first light or right at sunset. And they're usually a little bit better quality fish. Your bigger mangrove snapper start to really cooperate once it gets dark out there. And you will get quite a few small sharks and the occasional cobia and the tarpon obviously show up there almost every night and get real good. But it's going to vary from one night to the next. You might go there tonight, see a whole bunch of tarpon, come back tomorrow night and not find a single one. Especially coming up on this big moon that we got coming up, so that could change things up just a little bit with the tarpon. I haven't heard much about Cattle Dock Point at all, but the West Wall, I've been getting a lot of good mixed reports of kind of an assortment, especially as you transition yourself further and further south. You had anything up on this end of the West Wall?
Up by Trout Creek. And Shoe Creek, Pig Branch Creek, there's been some redfish up in there. It's a big shrimp activity. Heard of some jacks in some of the creeks. It's kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
You know, redfish is the one thing that nobody really has a good handle on right now.
No.
But snook fishing is, the further you get down that wall, the better. Outside the bar, you've got sporadic tarpon, small sharks, a lot of bonnet sharks around.
A lot of bonnet sharks. It's been a nice year for bonnet heads.
And
it's amazing how many of them are out there in that deeper water, that 4 to 12, 15, even in the 20-foot holes.
Oh, yeah, in the holes all over the place is loaded with bonnets. Mike Claudine caught 12.
Nice.
Saturday. So, you know, a lot of bonnet sharks out there. Coming along that bar, there's just so many different things. Yeah, thumb your nose at us. That's okay.
Nice.
Good morning, Barb. And you guys out there can do me a favor. I'm going to repeat this a few times during the show. If you're listening to us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Tumblr, call us at 941-255-3888. Like to know, A, if you can hear us, B, if there's you know, any questions you have about fishing, or you know, anything we can answer about fishing, we'll be willing to do that.
Or an up-to-the-minute fishing report.
Yeah, or if you have a good fishing report to tell us, you know, please call us in and give us a fishing report. We're always interested in those. It's 941-255-3888. 3888. So anyway, coming back down the west, while getting over to Cape Hayes, things start to change there. Cape Hayes,
yeah.
East side of the Cape Hayes bar is a little slow. We've got some fish over there, but as soon as you cross over on the west side, that's where the snook activity, even more redfish, all that stuff starting to pick up on that.
Yeah.
As soon as you cross that bar over.
A lot of little sharks, even a few bigger sharks cruising around through there, especially at trough going paralleling going in towards the entrance into Turtle Bay. I've heard of a couple incidental pompano, but no numbers down there. It's just dumb luck. Right out front from Turtle Bay over to the entrance to Bull Bay, there has been a few oddball redfish, some snook, few trout, a lot of catfish, of course. And then if you go out just a little bit there, right basically from Cape Hayes Reef down to Danger Reef, there's been Spanish mackerel scooting back and forth there between the two reefs, chasing a lot of the small bait. Been a few bigger sharks mixed in with them. And then from hour by hour, it's been a little odd, but there's been some tarpon over there basically in between Cape Hayes Reef and the shoreline. I don't know why they've been showing up there, but I've had several reports at the end of last week about some really good fish there throughout the early morning until about noon. So it's worth keeping an eye out for those fish there. As you go into Turtle Bay itself, following the entire shoreline all the way up to the back right corner there, there's been some redfish, very scattered, and they seem to be kind of on that shrimp bite still a little bit too. Some of them are being picked up on some white bait or the occasional pinfish, but it's definitely the shrimp or cut crabs seem to be working fairly good. I mean, it's not gangbusters by any means for the reds, but there's been some fish up in there. That's what they've been primarily getting them on. A few of the bigger redfish have been in some of those deeper sand holes as you're drifting out across those flats with a very incidental trout. Some small to moderate sized sharks, and even a few snook have moved into some of those potholes as they're moving out of that backwater.
Now, drifting across those flats, I wonder if you could take the clear plastic casting bubble, some 25 pound test fluorocarbon, and put one of those little swim baits below it to, you know, just drift behind the boat.
Yeah, probably could.
I wonder if that'd be worth a shot. With the new, you know, hitchhiker adaption right. to it.
Yeah, it might
I wonder
work.
If that work? I mean, you could just put a Rockport Rattler and a Gulp Shrimp on it.
Right.
You know, that would probably just do it as good as anything else.
Yeah. It just hasn't been gangbusters in there, so I don't know if it
could. Well, that's why I was wondering if, you know, you put it 50, 75 feet behind the boat while you're drifting across that flat, you know, working towards the other fish.
Right.
And just give yourself that extra little shot, you know. Sticking a lure behind there with a clear casting bubble on it, you know, that would increase your chances as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Man,
doesn't gonna
maybe
hurt.
Maybe a Little John on a Rockport Rattler, you know, just kind of dancing below the bobber.
Right.
That might do it.
That might be an idea, because, I mean, the Little Johns have been working.
So maybe instead of the swim bait, go to a Rockport Rattler head to give yourself a little bit of noise
mm-hmm.
and put the... kind of root beer brown motor oil, you know,
darker color
Little John on there. Redfish, their eyesight is so bad that they see more of a break in the color or the break in the light pattern. They see more of a shadow than they do actually see the object, and they hit at the shadow. And that's why historically gold or browns and stuff do better on redfish than the clearer colors, because they're keying in as much on the shadow of the object as the object itself. So that might be the way to go. I was just trying to think of a way of increasing, you know, somebody's odds out there.
Right.
And we do it for tarpon all the time.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't we do it for redfish or trout or something back there on the flat?
I don't know.
But I wouldn't use a solid foam bobber.
No.
Because it's casting an extra shadow. I would use the clear casting bubble and some 25 fluorocarbon down about, I'm going to go about 12, 18 inches below the casting bubble.
Yeah, not
Keep
very much.
Keep it clear out of the grass.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go probably more for 12 inches, 10, 12 inches below, you know, tie a very short leader on, put your casting bubble up on the leader. So by the time you tie the knots, getting just enough room, you should have it just about right, just to come right over the top of the grass like that.
Okay. Interesting to try.
Yeah, well, sorry. I was just, you know.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I should have, you know, I don't know why I interjected that. You were doing so good on your fishing report. And I just had to barge in with all this stuff, and I'm not sure why.
It's all good.
There's something wrong with me. Something really wrong with me. But I did figure out something that we're going to do.
What's that?
I'm going to move radio fishing into the back main offices. I'm going to put Barb's desk here.
You're going to move it back in there?
Yeah, I'm going to put Barb's desk here. This is where all the stuff gets in receiving and everything else, and this is where she needs to be. She's got all the shelves and everything else. Makes more sense, doesn't it?
There you go. That'll work.
Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She's got lots of room, lots of shelving, and yeah, kind of dumb. I didn't do that before. Didn't think about it. I just thought. So, anyway, yeah, we're sitting in Barb's new office.
Perfect.
So, all right.
She going to get a window?
Yeah. Well, she can have a window or she can have that AC unit, whichever one she prefers.
Yeah, pick one.
Yeah. I think she'll prefer the AC unit.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, anyway, getting back to the fishing report, puts us close to Placida, doesn't it?
We got to go from Devilfish up.
Okay, Devilfish up.
Well, Bull Bay's been about the same as Turtle Bay, so it's kind of, you know, get in there and give it a shot, but Devilfish has got a lot of bait fish showing up all over on the flats, finally staying a little bit more consistent. So it is drawing in some of the trout, some of the mangrove snapper, a lot of small sharks, kind of a mixed bag of stuff. But as you work from, say, Devilfish up to Sandfly, past the clam fields and the tailing flats there, basically all through from, I'd say from Cayo Palau all the way up to Catfish Creek, all on those flats and around all those islands, a lot of snook, few redfish, inside Wind Bay on those deeper grass flats and some of those deeper channels, there's been some pretty exceptional sized bull sharks cruising up in there with a few oddball lemons, a lot of little sharks scattered throughout that whole area. I've heard of a few incidental pompano through there, some Spanish mackerel, oddball bluefish right along the edge of the channel getting closer towards the ICW. There has been some bigger jacks coming through there too lately. I've had several guys over the last week talk about some of the jacks that have been busting through there all along that shoreline or that trough right there basically as you get close to the ICW. And then once you get up to Placida's been really pretty much one of the better bets, whether you're day fishing or night fishing right now.
Placida.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just sounded like I should do that.
There you go. Been a lot of mangrove snapper there, smaller sizes during the daytime. Nighttime's producing the bigger mangrove snapper. But a lot of Spanish mackerel, bonnet heads, a couple black nose, an oddball black tip. Even been a few bigger sharks being caught off of there. I had a guy catch a little baby hogfish. It was probably about 7-8 inches long while he was snapper fishing there. A few oddball trout, both speckled and a few oddball silvers. Then at night, obviously some of the bigger sharks have been moving through there. Some tarpon, whole bunch of snook. Been a few oddball redfish, mostly some just singles, and they're usually over the size limit, but fun to catch. Pardon me. Once you move your way up into heading towards Lemon Bay, if you want to troll through that little miserable mile there, there's been some Spanish mackerel.
Audio jungle.
What?
I have no idea.
Weird. Oh dear, jungle! Really?
Well, I was looking. We were talking about snappers, so I thought, well, I'll find a snap.
Audio jungle.
Oh.
Audio jungle.
No idea what that's about. It says finger snap.
Yeah, you get the finger snap, but then
audio
they
don't. Jungle.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. Can't help it. Okay.
Once you get through that miserable mile,
myself up.
Trying to find some of those Spanish mackerel because, I mean, they're just scattered throughout there. Nothing really heavy. But on the edges of the intercoastals. You drift along some of those deeper grass flats. There's been some redfish, a few oddball trout at the edges of the docks and underneath the docks. There's been a lot of snook, a few trout, some sheep's an oddball sheep's head, mangrove snapper. I've heard of a couple flounder up there, but they've been small. I've heard of a couple good-sized gag grouper being caught out off underneath some of those docks too over there. Then once you work your way into like Stump Pass, Ski Alley, a lot of snook moving around through there. I mean, there's a lot of snook getting ready to stage up to move out to these passes right now. So I think every day you're going to start to see more and more fish filtering out onto the beaches. Been some good-sized whiting. Few oddball pompano, a lot of jacks, Spanish mackerel, all cruising right there through Stump Pass and right out along the edges of the beach. Been some pretty decent sharks. And it's kind of the same from, you know, Venice all the way down to Fort Myers Beach, basically. If you want to walk the beaches right now, every day more and more snook are moving out, and it's not as... It's still definitely best by the mouths of the passes, but you're starting to see more and more fish venturing farther and farther away from those passes, so it's getting better and better. Same way with your Spanish mackerel, your jacks, pompano, big whiting. That all those beaches are just starting to get really, really good up and down from all the passes. Some big tarpon have been kind of cruising in and out. Jesus.
Scared me.
That was loud. And made me flinch. Wow. We're playing with the sound effects.
Go ahead.
There's been some tarpon cruising in on the inside of the trough. Mostly in the early mornings or right at about an hour before sunset when that sea breeze starts to dissipate. Some of the guys are seeing some nice-sized fish moving right inside there. Gotten some good reports from Stump Pass, South Through Pass, Little Gasparilla Pass. I mean, getting real close to the beaches there. And then along Boca Grande, right up close to the shoreline, almost castable from the shoreline itself. And then if you don't want to mess around with that, you can just head out into the Gulf. And the Gulf fishing right now has been really pretty good. From 3 to 15 miles out, mangrove snapper bites been good. Some really nice grunts and porgies. I know it's been windy this past week, so not a lot of guys have gone out. But there has been some pretty good fish out there. Heard of some really nice amberjack actually out there at the Palm Island Ferry. Last week there was a couple good-sized fish there.
Palm Island Ferry's been doing pretty good. That M16, several of the other reefs.
Yeah.
I've got several customers that came in over the weekend that have been doing great offshore, and the wind picked up. They're waiting for the wind to die off a little bit because the snapper fishing on Trembling, Novak,
Power Poles.
The Power Poles, all these, they're just, I mean, from, you know, your basic 12-inch to 16, 18-inch snappers.
Yeah.
I mean, some really nice fish, medium tackle.
Right.
Problem is, there's been a few other fish there that all of a sudden you're doing the snapper and it was a wham. And
yeah,
you just
get railed.
Get railed on it and you can't stop them. So they've been kind of using a little bit more than what you'd want for regular snapper. You could do the snapper with a regular spinning rod that you'd use for redfish, but then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're getting your lunch handed to you.
Yep.
So
there's a lot of Spanish mackerel scattered out there, a few incidental bonita, an incidental king. Mixed reports. There are a few kings that have been close to shore have been pretty large, but the majority of them that are close to shore are very small. You know, they'd be what I would consider just schooly kings, you know, under 10 pounds. As you get out there to that 25 to 35 mile mark, that's when you're starting to see a couple more larger kings, but they've all pretty much about boogied. So it's just a few here and a few there, but your better numbers get as you get farther offshore. I've heard of two sailfish being sighted out there at 20. One was at 20, one was at 15. There's also been some permit out there scattered on some of the reefs from anywhere from 3 miles out to, it's not surprising to see them at 30 miles out. You'll see them on the boxcars every now and then, or the Bay of Ronto. So that's not super unusual to see them out there in that deeper water.
Could it put you more in the feel for deep water fishing?
Sounds like I'm drowning.
Either that or head beans.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Right.
Okay. Right. Go away. Stop. Okay. There he goes.
I would have your poles kind of ready for just about anything if you're out there. Definitely make sure you have one pole free line, you know, ready to go with a free liner on it, whether it's a shrimp or a bait fish or something along those lines, or just a small bucktail or a small casting plug, like something as simple as a twitch stick. Calling in sea lions?
Bigfoot.
Well, it was Bigfoot?
Yeah, well, you know, we have the Asquatch down here.
Yeah, sounded like a sea lion.
Yeah, it was actually a moose.
Was it?
Oh. Yeah. It didn't sound like anything to me. It was horrible. I was just trying to find something that was interesting.
Did you see that guy over in California that got jerked off of his boat by a sea lion?
Sorry, my mind is going sideways today.
Wow, yeah, I better phrase the word.
I didn't.
He was posing for a picture with a yellowtail. You're really left of center today, aren't you? Is there a sound of a gutter?
Posing for a picture with a snapper. It gets jerked off.
No. Yellowtail.
Jerked off the boat. Oh, okay.
Yellowtail.
Okay.
Not a yellowtail snapper, a yellowtail like an amberjack.
Oh, gotcha. All right, so he's...
It came out of the water to try to take his yellowtail while he was posing for it and grabbed a hold of his hand and took him into the water.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of fish was it?
A yellowtail, like an amberjack. They're close relatives of the amberjack.
So he's sitting there posing with a fish,
mm-hmm.
and another fish jumps out of the...
sea lion.
Oh, a sea lion. That's what I was trying to get. I'm sitting here going, okay, what the heck are we talking about?
Your brain's going about 27 different directions.
Oh, no. I've had it. Yep. I'm toast. There's fundamentally something wrong with me. So anyway, on a more basic level, this guy's standing there holding a picture of his fish, and a sea lion jumps out of the water, grabs his hand, thinking it's part of the fish, mm-hmm. and they both go into the water.
Takes him in the water with him for a little bit.
Well, it didn't take sea lion long to get done with him, right?
No. So. I mean, he actually let go and then re-bit him again, trying to get a hold of everything. And the guy panicked pretty good, but he was fine. He just had some pretty good chomps in his hand. Kind of terrifying.
It's kind of a premature release on the sea lion's part.
Wow. I'm about to word my stuff a little bit better.
I can't help
it. All right. Moving in from the Gulf a little bit, down along the beach.
I feel like I'm in a tank.
Nitrous oxide.
Yes, that's it. Okay.
As you move in closer to the beaches, the tarpon have been moving up and down the beaches pretty darn good. They're anywhere from 50 yards off the beach to 3 miles off the beach. Literally from Venice all the way down to Estero Bay. Your better numbers of fish have been from Stump Pass down to Redfish Pass here.
Trying
some
to give
good
them the feel of the beach. The waves breaking.
Nice.
The kids running and kicking sand in your face.
Yes.
The boombox way too loud.
Yes.
No, never mind. Warm summer breezes. We gotta advertise Florida, you know.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Down there around Sanibel. Yeah. Down around Sanibel there, Knapp's Point. Some really, really good fish down there. And then Captiva Pass, been some really nice fish staging up right out there. You know, right.
Don't worry, you're safe. I'm going to go get coffee.
And then Boca Grande between Captiva Pass and Boca Grande Pass, hit or miss. I mean, there's fish cruising up and down there. It varies a little bit. This full moon's going to change things up a little bit with all these fish out there. But from Boca Grande Pass up to, like I said, Stump Pass, that's been where your better fish have been. They're hitting crabs. They're hitting thread fins. Crabs are probably doing one of your better bets out there along the beaches for them. Also, there's been a lot of bull sharks on and around those tarpon out there on the beach. So if you're fighting any of those tarpon for any short period of time or even a little bit longer period of time, keep a real diligent eye out for some of the bull sharks that have been coming in and wolf packing on those fish. If you can, try to break them off, give them a chance to get away. If you're going to catch that fish and land them as you're coming closer to the shoreline, get up closer to the shore with him a little bit as you're dragging him along to resuscitate him. That way he has a chance to get away from those sharks, because if you're keeping him out there in that 15 feet of water, 20 feet of water, that fish is so tired, even though you took a little bit of time to resuscitate him, he's not going to outrun one of those bull sharks. So I generally, this time of year, would prefer to quarter in towards the shoreline with those tarpon as I'm resuscitating them. So I'm getting them just a little bit closer to that shoreline, a little bit shallower water where they can get away.
Nothing.
No, okay.
Nothing.
So take your time with that. Make sure you're paying attention to all that with the sharks and the tarpon. Been pretty exciting out there, though. I mean, it's been very, very good fishing. A lot of guys are doing extremely well out there on the fish. That just before daylight bite has been incredible, and very few fishermen out there up until about that 7:30, 8 o'clock. Then it starts to get a little bit busier out there, but there are plenty of fish around. So if you see a couple guys fishing one little group, move on down the shoreline and look for your own group. There's fair numbers of fish around where you don't have to worry about it too terribly much. Coming in through Boca Grande Pass right there itself, been a lot of mangrove snapper in there, Spanish mackerel, a lot of blue runners, which I forgot to mention about all the offshore reefs. They're just inundated with blue runners still. I mean, we talked about it for a little bit here, but lots of blue runners around. It's been kind of crazy. Some decent sized jacks, quite a few sharks of assorted sizes, but they've been kind of coming and going. So one day to the next has been sporadic. If you work your way all the way down to, say, coming in through Redfish Pass and working your way around St. James City, Sanibel area, snook are all over around the Sanibel Causeway with some really nice tarpon, especially at night. The docks there around Ponarasa have really loaded up with the snook. They've kind of booted all the little snapper out or eaten them. There have been a few incidental redfish and black drum underneath those docks, but it's mainly all about the snook right now underneath all those docks. St. James City, all the little grass flats around there, holding a few trout, nothing really giant, but been some good fish there. You're also catching Spanish mackerel, juvenile permit mixed in with an oddball pompano down in there. Been some big mangrove snapper in some of those sand holes, and a lot of little sharks. So, I mean, there's kind of an assortment of a mixed bag limit throughout all that area around St. James City and up through the intercoastal itself. I mean, you literally never know what you're going to get from one cast to the next. Going up the backside, heading up towards Matlache, all those Cape Coral canals, tarpon are starting to dump out of those, and quite a few juvenile tarpon mixed in some of them. So you're seeing a mixed variety of tarpon, sharks, a few snook, few redfish down there along the flats and along the edge of the ICW. Matlache itself, I honestly haven't heard a good report from Matlache in a couple weeks. How about you?
Tarpon, a lot of snook, some redfish, nothing special. Pretty slim in the redfish, but tons of snook down through that area right now. All in all, there's quite a few different fish there. Not loads of numbers of any of them, but the whole area from where it connects down to Punarasa down there, mm-hmm. all the way up through that whole channel up towards Two Pines. There's snook kind of just scattered through the whole thing.
Right.
A lot of good snook fishing. And tarpon using that as kind of a way of coming from the harbor. They're going down through past Matt Lachey down to get back to Punarasa. Okay. So you've got good shots and ambushing tarpon going back and forth. It's just been kind of a mixed, generalized thing. Right. A few snappers. Trout fishing is not bad down there right now. If you get just south of Matt Lachey over on the west side of that channel course there through the grass flats.
By the power lines?
Kind of getting in, yeah, the Ding Darling, the whole power lines area over there. There's been some trout on the grass flats there, scattered, big, but there's trout there.
Okay. Kind of hearing the same thing out front, too, in Pine Island side, you know, from Captiva Rocks all the way up to Jug Creek, basically, or Patricio. That whole area is just scattered with snook, a few oddball redfish, miscellaneous trout. There's been some bigger sharks in some of those deeper little troughs that are cut throughs between some of the islands.
It's amazing.
Tarpon have been all over throughout there, too.
The guys who are really serious on the redfish are actually shrimp. They're really going to... the redfish are hardcore in the shrimp right now. The guys who are really doing well with decent sized redfish, and when they find them, you know, being more consistent with the catching, are the guys who switch back to shrimp for a while. Don't know why that should be. They should be just white bait crazy at this point.
You would think so.
And but the guys who are actually serious about it, pulling a bigger redfish, are taking some shrimp with them.
There you go.
I would have bet against that, but nope, they're still on the shrimp, and it's kind of a toss-up between the live ones and the dead. Mm-hmm. And it really hasn't mattered either way. The dead ones are using more with jig heads and stuff like that, and the live ones more on the freeline tail hooked. But kind of a weird point with the redfish. Don't really know why they're taking that turn away from the pattern norm.
Hey, I don't know.
But how did we get to this morning? It was 57 degrees or something like that at my house this morning. I went outside and had to bundle up again to have my coffee and the smoke. And I was like, are you kidding me? It was really nice. I mean,
real nice.
It's like going back to where we were in January and February. Beautiful, warm, sunny days, cool at night. Doesn't get any better than that.
No.
I mean, it could stay like this for another month. I would be really happy. I know we only got a couple of days, but.
Yeah. I'm taking advantage of every moment of it.
Yeah, I think we both wore long pants today.
Yeah.
Yeah, got rid of the little kid shorts and put on long pants, feel like real adults.
I almost wore a jacket this morning.
Yeah, I had my hoodie in the truck. I walked downstairs with it, and by the time I get it on, I'll be used to the chill.
Right, exactly. It's kind of where I was at.
So,
right now, the water is gin clear down there, too.
Yeah.
All throughout the intercoastal, and the last couple of days the wind's been kind of more easterly.
It's been switching around. I don't know what it's doing today. I'll go on fishingfranks.com and hit the weather and tides and live weather. Right now at this moment in Placida, it is blowing 3 miles an hour out of the north, slightly off to west, at gusting to 4 miles an hour.
Okay.
It's 64.4 degrees.
Wow.
And it's blowing almost due north. And I'm going to expect that to turn anytime now.
But
yeah.
You know,
that just surprised me. It was blowing way out of the south and the west yesterday, and now it's turned north.
It's supposed to really turn east over the next 2 days.
Yeah.
But the beaches may not be that clean right now, but the intercoastal has been pretty clean for the most part, especially if you get around some of those islands. This is the perfect time of year, and you've only got another couple few weeks of it with this water being as clear as it is, to get out and try to sight fish. I don't care if you want to sight fish a snook, a redfish, or especially a tarpon. This is definitely the time to do it. So get out there once that sun gets up above the tree lines. maybe even a little bit higher than that. You know, usually at 10 o'clock hour is kind of ideal. It's casting just enough shadow in the water, so if those fish are slowly cruising along, even if they're only a few inches off the bottom, they're going to cast a nice shadow for you. Keep an eye out for them. It's an awesome time of year. Just even if you don't want to sight cast them, just to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool just to see the fish right now. I mean, and if you're blessed out on the beaches and the water's clean, I mean, there's times where you can see down. This time of year, it's not unusual to be able to see 40, 50 feet down.
Well, today we were talking about east winds turning east today at 10 to 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 25. Tonight's going to back off a little bit, but tomorrow we got 10 to 17 miles an hour winds east-northeast. And then by Wednesday, it's going to be back to north. So the winds are going to be staying on the north for a while. North, northeast, a little bit northwest, but predominantly, you know, northerly directions.
Mm-hmm.
So that explains the cooler weather.
Which the weird part was is most of last year through tarpon season, all the way through until July even, the winds were predominantly northeast.
Yeah.
I mean, it never got any real cold fronts, but, I mean, you know, it was consistently more wind coming north, more so than easterly.
Yeah, well, we've got lows in the 60s all every night this week, and it's going to be about 85, 86 during the day. So, beautiful week to be down here. We've got 20 to 40% chance of storms for the next 3 days, and then Friday, Saturday, beautiful weather. It's going to be a great time. If you've got time to get down to Southwest Florida, do a little tarpon fishing, this is going to be a good weekend for it. The wind should be moderate, but there's going to be a place to hide from the wind. Okay. There always is. The only one that's tough to hide from is south.
Right.
North is a little tough, but can be done. But south, boy, it's tough to hide from a south wind here. Everything has a southerly exposure.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, getting back to it.
Working your way around from Jug Creek and the whole north end of Boquilla area. A lot of bait all around there, whether it's right on Jug Creek shoals or all around Boquilla out there on those sandbars. There's thread fins, there's white bait, there's pinfish, plenty of lizard fish too. Kind of a mixed variety of, you know, bait fish, but that's drawing in a lot of varieties of little, you know, predatory fish. Your Spanish mackerel, a lot of little sharks, incidental cobia, tarpon, snook and redfish have been up closer to the shoreline there along Boquilla. But I mean, just the whole gamut of stuff. I mean, yeah. If you just want to drift those flats, you kind of can keep yourself fairly entertained with a mixed gamut.
Out through the middle of the harbor, lots of sharks, basically the same stuff as Robert was talking about. Chum bags do help.
Absolutely.
If you're going to go out and fish that middle of the harbor, you pretty much just need to get one of the $5.95 pre-bagged chum things and hang it out behind the boat. Best bet is to anchor, or if you're going to drift, only drift to the point you start seeing bait or fish and then put your anchor down. The problem that it is you keep drifting away from your chum.
Right.
So you're actually a little better off anchoring and chumming. Lines under floats, lines on the bottom. The reef has been fair to moderate. Mm-hmm. Far as snappers, a couple of sheephead, some sharks, stuff like that. Same thing with Cape Hayes Reef. Cape Hayes Reef has more sharks on it. Coming up the east side from Burnt Store?
Mixed. I mean, a lot of snook moving out of there. A whole lot of snook.
Two Pines up to Pirate Harbor. We've got great snook populations at this point. I think that salty water has kind of got them stalled out right there because it stays salty enough on that incoming.
Yeah.
So I think the vast majority of them will stay there and spawn. Redfish, you got to go kind of more middle north on the east side to find any kind of decent redfish numbers. Same thing, you got to get south of Two Pines. Yeah. And work back in. There are some out by the, if you go up to Cormorant Key up there and get between there and the sandbar, guy caught a couple out there out in the wide open in those little grass holes, the deep holes with the grass in them just between Cormorant and the sandbar. And getting further north up there, mixed reports around Alligator Creek, kind of a lot of different types of fish, jacks, some snook.
Yeah, jacks definitely have taken the spotlight up in that area. I mean, there's
been, and rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're obviously a pelagic fish, so they're moving around all the time. They've got two speeds, haul, butt, and disappear. But they've been in there consistently of various sizes, from the 1-pounders up to 12-pounders. I mean, good numbers of fish and good size fish. Obviously, the snook you're talking about, few mangrove snapper, incidental lost sheep's head or black drum, you know, a little bit, just nothing super exciting up in there. The PGI canals is about what we have left. You know, the only thing that I'm hearing of super fabulous up in the PGI canals is the juvenile tarpon in a lot of the different canals everywhere. And I mean, you know, juveniles up to like 60 pounds. Majority of them are in that 10 to 25 pound range.
Right.
Few snook, mangrove snapper, black drum, obvious, oddball Goliath grouper. That's about it. I mean,
well, it kind of takes us on an aerial view around the area of Southwest Florida.
Yeah.
The fishing's good right now. We're not going to call it great. We're going to say it's a nice time to be here. The weather's wonderful. The scenery's beautiful. The water's clear. The fishing's good enough where you're going to enjoy the day. You're going to have 1 out of 10 is going to have the trip of a lifetime. Say 8 out of 10 are going to do okay, and 1 out of 10 is really going to suck.
Right.
You know, so your odds of having a good to great day are better than having a bad day right now.
Absolutely. It's not horrible. It's just not exciting or excellent.
It's not excellent right now. It's okay. The fishing's pretty good. It's kind of like a normal place.
Yeah.
It's not like Charlotte Harbor.
I would give it about a 7 to an 8.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 7 right now. So, on the tooth. Well, we got a fin and a half up.
There you go. Nice. Nice.
We don't give it 2 fins up right now. We're going to give it a fin and a half. So, other than that, like Robert's been trying to tell you, keep a light rod with you in case you run into the Spanish mackerel or the snappers and stuff like that. Something medium, an 8 to 17 baitcaster spinning rod. And then keep a big gun. You need an elephant gun with you, because there is always that shot at that nice fish right now, whether it's a 7-8 foot shark or a 6 foot tarpon or
that holy mackerel. Did you see the size of that snook cruising along that bar?
Yeah, there
I
is.
Mean, there's been a lot of those lately, so
a lot of Godzilla moments on the snook and everything else. You really need to bring several different types of rods with you. This is not the day to have one rod sitting there. In your other rod holder should be something completely different, either a medium and a heavy or a light and a heavy, something like that. But something with a 40-pound plus braid on it. Right. And when you look at the rod, the mono line rating should be at least 25, 30, or 40 on the rod.
Right.
If the line rating says 10 to 20, it's too light. It's a fish killer.
Right.
You cannot put
and
enough
it should
force.
Be mono, not what it says for braid.
Yeah. The mono line rating should be, you know, something, and then the top number 25, 30, or 40. If it's smaller than that, what's going to go is that you are going to not have enough power to land the fish in a reasonable amount of time. I can land a 100-pound tarpon and 10, 12-pound test. But trust me, guys, it's been done before. But you're going to be over an hour resuscitating that fish if you can get it to revive.
Yeah.
So it's just not a good practice. Enjoy the fish. Let the fish enjoy the fight. And both of you guys walk away happy. So,
exactly.
Anyway, anything else we need to talk about? I think we're pretty much wrapped up with most of it.
Yeah. I mean, give us some calls. Let us give us some updated fishing reports, what you saw this weekend, what you did.
Email Frank at fishingfranks.com with some fishing reports, and we'll post them on the blog or
some good
everywhere
stuff
else.
So we can feed it out to everybody.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for listening. Let's see. I guess this would be... Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Fishing Frank in the chair.
And the guitar.
And got Robert in the chair across from me. This is Radio Fishing. Hey, trademark. Actual federal trademark of Fishing Frank.
And a production of Fish and Frank.
And a production of Fish and Frank. You can tell because the production's not so good. Trying to keep it more family rated.
Right.
Yes, I go through this show. God, why am I going to publish this
good.
One?
You're good. You're good at pause it. Oh!
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. So, anyway, boys and girls, we appreciate you listening. We will be back with more radio fishing maybe later today if I can get a chance to talk to some of the captains. I do have the phone lines working again, so we are trying to reach out. Big problem with the phone lines over the last couple weeks, but we're going to try and get back on the water with more captains. So thank you guys for putting up with us. We'll see you in the next radio fishing. Bye-bye.